The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. Begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf in Besechet Ben Achot is as good as gold. Daf Pei Zayin. And we are holding right at the Gemara, a few lines down from the top. So, the Mishnah told us about the wines that ein meviim lo matok, velo mevushal, velo meushan, ve'im mevi pasul. So it seems quite clear that sweet wine is actually not kosher. And yet, the problem is that, of course, the Reisha said, ein meviim et halistion, ve'im mevi kosher. That actually it is kosher if you bring a sun-sweetened wine, although it's preferable not to. Now, what is the difference between halistion, which as we said was based on the Greek helles, which is, of course, the sun, sweetened by the sun, and just plain old sweet? Answers the Gemara, Amravina, Krochutini, look, I mean, you're right, there can't be any difference. So obviously we're supposed to read these two together, the Hel Yiston or Matok, Imhevi, Rashi learns, is not kosher. It's a little bit of a problem, because of course one doesn't follow the other. There's in the middle, we have a completely different issue. You can't say literally, Krochutini. Krochutini usually means you're supposed to put the words that are said at the end back in the beginning, and that wouldn't make any sense here at all. So, I mean, Rashi himself implies that Krochutini is sort of borrowed here. In other words, we would say on both of them, at least the other Rashi, we'd say on both of them the words possible. Tosus actually means Krochutini that it should be kosher. And some understand that the meaning, according to Tosafot, is that we put together the explanation of the Mishnah, where we have ein meviim lo matok velo meushan velo mevushal v'im mevi pasul. So the way to understand is that some achronim suggests that is a pirush, taking Tosafot's approach. In other words, when do we say that it would be pasul? If the sweetness came through mu'ushan or mevushal. So that would be something that would stimulate the grapes or bring out the sweetness of the grapes that's artificial. Masha enken, if it's actually natural, that would be the hel yiston. That would mean that the second part of the mission, that's the krochu to me. Not that we would be putting the two together. We say, yeah, after all, says it's kosher. So if it's kosher, then he's saying, oh, read the last part where it's possible as the explanation of when it's possible. But normally it would be kosher. Okay. Anyway, there is, however, another approach, which was the approach that we learned when we learned the Mishnah, and that is Rav Ashi Amar, Chuya de Shimsha lo mois, Chuya de Pira mois. If you have sun ripened, that's not something that is overdone. It doesn't make the wine disgusting. But if you have a fruit sugar that's in it on its own, those are not good grapes. Or there's a vice versa, in which the chulia that's natural in the pre fits with the pre, but the chulia of the shemesh is overdone. Okay, in any event, ein mevi im yashan, divrei rebbi v'chachamim machshirim. Now this, of course, this comes right in the middle of the hel yiston and the matok, which is why it's a problem to say literally krochutzni. But the question is, I mean, I thought the older the wine is, the better it is. That's certainly the way we generally look at it. Why in the world would Rebbe say that it's possible? So says the Gemara, what's the meaning? My time in the Rebbe, Omar Chizkiah, my time in the Rebbe. Omar Kro, well, after all, the Torah seems to compare the age of the wine to the age of the keves, because it says, V'diskeyem chatzi ayin, and revit ayin la keves yayin, which is mashba, that the yayin should be as old as the keves. The keves has to be betok shnato. So therefore, if it's old, it's possible. Ma keves ben shnato, av yayin ben shnato. But wait, if that's the case, it should be possible also. Because a keves ben shtei shanim is completely possible. It's not even called a keves if it's in its second year. So then, according to this, if the makor is the comparison to keves, then af yayin ben shtei shanim would be possible. V'chitei machinami, maybe you'll say, well, maybe in a chinami. maybe it is possible. No, because the Braita makes it very clear, Vatanya, Yayin ben Shteshanim lo yavi, but imevi kasher. Now, who could have said this Braita? I mean, the only one we know that holds that you're not supposed to bring Yayin that is Yashan is Rebbe. So, man shamet le diomar lo yavi, that's dafka Rebbe. And nonetheless, it says imevi kasher. And now, if the makor is the comparison of the yayin to the keves, then it wouldn't be kasher v'bidiavad any more than a keves would be kasher v'bidiavad. Elam arov, it's a completely different issue. Hainu time at a Rebbe. You know why Rebbe says it's a problem? Not because the quality of the wine doesn't go up. The color of the wine is affected badly so that it becomes a negative because the Torah specifies the color of the wine as something to look out for. Of course, it does it in a way which tells you, don't be too drawn to wine in Mishlei. Don't be too drawn to wine just because it's so nice and red. But that implies that the redness is the draw. So therefore it says, Al tera yayin ki yitadam, ki yitain kos eno. Obviously that means that the Torah views that as being part of the attraction of the wine. Since the color is actually negatively affected by the passing of time, therefore Rebbe holds that's more important than other issues. And we would appreciate for the wine, for the Mizbeach, to bring dafka from a kerem that was growing directly on the ground, not that was on trellises. And it continues on, and as usual, the opening words here are improperly selected. It continues on to say that you only bring it from a kerem that is avudim. Now, it's difficult to believe that the Mishnah means avudim as opposed to wild gramim that nobody's talking about, nobody's taking care of. And indeed, the Braita clarifies it. When we say gramim avudim, we mean gramim that are avudim above and beyond the standard, and they are taken care of twice a year instead of allowed to go to pot over the entire time in which they're not yet ready to bear fruit during the winter. Here, these kramim are dug out to keep them clean around the bottom, to keep the water around the roots of the geffen, to keep weeds away. And those are producers of higher quality. Rav Yosef, indeed, Avile Karna b'Pardesa, he had a little kerem of his own. Derofik Beitavi Rivka, he used to do an awful lot of hoeing in there. The other, the Chamra, the Darimaya Al-Khatrin, and you could put in twice as much dilution into the wine, meaning 6-to-1 instead of the typical 3-to-1, than other wines in the area. Lo yukod sinotan bechatzavim gedolim. And so the Mishnah says we mustn't put the wine in too large of a container, but we keep it in a mid-sized container and leave a little bit of air so that it can breathe. Now, Tana Chaviyot are a reference to Kadiyot Ludiyot Benoniyot. It's big machloket about whether this is what is good or this is what is not good. So, Eimene Chinotam Shtayim Shtayim, in any event, apparently in Lud, that was where they manufactured the containers for the wine, in a Tzin Barnea's neighborhood, and you can tell us about the different size containers.
I'm not sure about the different sizes containers, but I have a book that goes through Lud and Sochre Lud, and Lud as a business center, so it makes sense that they would have a
business center. Doesn't sound like your neighborhood today. Yeah. These barrels are not stored one next to the other, because if one of them gets infected, then the infection could easily pass from one to the other through the air, and we want to keep them as clean as possible. We already saw we're very careful about what type of yeast is going to get into wine. We don't allow any thick yeast deposits, but according to one mandiyama we saw before, it's considered to be mamish possible because of balmum, the wine, and imeivi it would be possible. Because of that, we're makbid that the wine that we're setting aside for the nisachim should be wine that doesn't even be stored together with wines that may themselves become infected. And this relates also to the next piece, which is ketzad bodek. How exactly did they make certain that they weren't getting poor quality wine? So gizbar yoshevet kana biyado. The gizbar would sit there as they were measuring out the wine. Now, most learn that the kana means a measuring kana, because that's what it's usually used. But Rambam understands kana biyado meaning the tube through which the wine has been tapped. so that he is holding that tube so that the moment that anything that looks bad starts coming out, he pushes it out of the way. Not the way we understand it here, the way Rashi was learning, that kana biyada means just to make the noise with the kana. Zorak agir hikish bakaneh. So hikish bakaneh, again, the pashtus of the Gemara is very much mashka like Rashi. Hikish bakaneh, not that he was makish the kana to the side, but that he made a noise with the kaneh, and then the person who was pouring stopped pouring. Now, the question, of course, is why we would do it in this funny way. I mean, why not just say, okay, stop. So Tana, zorak hagir, when anything whitish would start coming out of the hole, of the tap, the bunghole. So then, gizbari kish bakaneh, he would, again, according to Rambam, he would knock on the kaneh. According to Rashi, he would make a noise with the measuring rod in his hand.
Are they using the gear to clarify the liquid?
No, it's not gear. It's just, it isn't literal gear. It means white junk. They're using it. Something that looks like it's really shmarim. So it's the gear of the shmarim, which are the little pieces of shmarim, the white piece. I didn't see anybody who understood it to mean that they use it as a filter. Gizbari kish pikane. Velema lemema. Why don't you just say, stop? Ah, that's Bisayel Yochanan. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Kishem Shah Dibur Yafel Bisamim, Kach Dibur Ra Layain. It's in the same way that we are daf to go out of our way to speak when handling the grinding of the Bisamim. Make sure you get away. That's only because the voice makes the Bisamim better. By wine, it's exactly the opposite. And the voice makes the wine more susceptible to infection, which could just mean that it's because whatever is the person is talking about, it could affect the wine. Because there's not much, but it's just noise, beyond that's actual speech. This is remarkable because, as some of the Mefarshim point out, yayin is the source of speaking. Yayin, you know, vev visulot. You know, vev literally. And Ketoret is there for Maaseh Hashoy, for not talking. That's why it's Bechapra and Loshon Hara. And yet the Kol is Yofel Ubisabim, and it's Ra Liayin. Very interesting. Oh, there you go. Perfect. The Trappist wine is because they don't talk. That's why it's good wine. According to this Gemara. maybe they know something.
They're in the most. They must use wood containers. But it wouldn't make sense. Just vibrations would be bad.
More. There's no. No, we seem to move it.
Not only is there, but the quality.
No, there's no din of not moving.
For the whiskey, they say they have those geese making the noise as if it was in Scotland for the whiskey.
Really? That's what they say?
Geese.
Is that, that's not just an ad about the nature, and so they actually say it improves the taste? I never saw it. Richie, have you heard anything like that?
No.
Geese improving the taste of the
Of the whiskey. These are very, very wild, you say. They attack a very wild.
Okay.
And that's where they
walk away to get over. And I must go where the wild goose goes.
Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda Omer. Okay, according to Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda, it's seriously possible because it's Tmimim. Tmimim. It says Tmimim Yulachem and Viniskehem. So we have two issues, remember. One is Vinishehem, that is set together with Tmimim, and we also have the Pasuk that is not mamish together, but that puts together Minchatam and the Tmimim. But there's a difference between them. One is literally in the same Pasuk. Tmimim yu Vinishehem, and we'll see why this may be Nogea, the next piece of Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, what would be the din if you were actually makdish the yayin that had a little bit of mold on it? Moshi elakeh mishum ba'almum. Would you be chayav for ba'almum on it? Kivan, the apostle, ke ba'almum dami. Adilma ein ba'almum ela bivema. We've had this question twice before, but remarkably never by Rabbi Yochanan. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't ask the question we had it on the other issues, the gabi the solet or the eitzim. He only asks it on this case. What could possibly be the reason for the difference. And there's a tremendous amount of discussion in the Achronim about this because it's fascinating. Built around the question of this particular case, the Niskehem is mentioned together with Mimi. Mimi, you, the Niskehem. That's not the case of the Mincha. That's not the case of the Eitz. And therefore, Rabba's question when he was raising it could have been Nogea Maushia Lakealehim, because it's only a smuchim. There's a famous machlokas Bavli in Yerushalmi as to whether you get malchus for smuchim. Whether it's only an iser, but you wouldn't get malchus. So it could be that Rabba was raising the question of how we should pass the Magabe the malchus. It has nothing to do with the issue over here, because this isn't smuchim. So here the question would be whether the mumin relate directly to the mumin that are mentioned in the Torah, which is on Behema. They're saying, is it Dafka Din in Behema, or is it always the fact that Tmimim is set together with Niskeim means that there must be a concept of non-Tmimim, so that by extension, we explain for ourselves what would be a Mumin Yayin would be mold. So therefore you get Malkus on, because it turns a completely different issue. So Yogan didn't have any suffix regarding the other problem at all. Tana Rabbanan. The Mishnah doesn't discuss where we brought animals from. However, Elim were brought from Moab. Kivasim were brought from Hebron. Agalim were brought from the Sharon area. And Gozalot were brought Mehar HaMelech, which is right in Barnea's neighborhood.
The area of Ephraim and Menashe on the main hill in the middle.
Why is it called
Barnea? It's also Mishnah Vitz. I don't remember.
Yeah,
you're going to
need to take a ride through your neighborhood again.
The trees, the
roses? Why would we call it HaMelech at that time? I remember we discussed them in Gibeon. Okay. In any event, Reb Yudah Emer, these kvasim were enormously fat, and maybe in kvasim shegavan kerachvan, or actually the Gersa has in the Tosfos, is not shegavan kerachvan, but rather shegavan rechavim, because, and we darshan it from a posik where it's mashma kar nirchav, as we'll see, which means they should be very broad, that they were very fat and tall, because there's also a medrash that Tosfos brings, which is fascinating, that these kvasim were so tall that if you would transport them by camel across the back of the camel, their legs would drag on the ground. So it means gavoyin and richavim, not that they were the same height as they are wide. Omar Rava Barav Shila, my time in Rav Yudah, because it's a pasuk. Basically, the pasuk puts together with all of the various brochot that are coming our way, v'natan mitar zarachar shetizrat adama, and dashen v'shamein yireh miknecha b'yom ahu kar nirchav. Kar nirchav means fat, fat, and stuffed bellies. So that means they were very wide. K'tiv al, here we're going to darsh it once already. We're talking about the brachot, not only latid lavo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concern for the future of Yerushalayim. So it says, al chomotayich Yerushalayim hifkati shomrim, perfect for this week's Shabbat Yerushalayim. Kol hayom v'chol halayla tamid lo yacheshu amazkirim et Adonai al domi lachem. So what exactly did they say? My Amri, these shomrim, these malachim, are appointed on Yerushalayim. And they were saying something that was supposed to be maskil the schut of Yerushalayim be'inei Hashem, be'ozne Hashem. What did they say? Hochi Omar Rav Barav Shila, they said, Ata takum terachim tzion. Nachu bar Yitzchak Eimer, bone Yerushalayim Hashem. But all of this, of course, is based on it being b'zman ha'churban, b'davka. What about before the Churban? Why would they say, Bonei Yerushalayim, Atat Rachem, Mikor Mayhavi Amri, Omer Rav Barav Shila, Ki Bachar Hashem B'Zion, Iva L'Moshav Lo. Hadron Alach Kol Korbanot HaTzibur, Shtei Midot Shel Yavesh Hayu B'Migdash, Yisoron V'Chatzi Yisoron. So there were two different types, obviously it doesn't mean two different specific kelim, two different types of sizes of dry measure, the Isaron and the half Isaron. I will see why we would need those two. As Rabbi Meir says, actually, there were two types of Isaron. One of them was larger than the other. One of them was measured as an Isaron when you smooth the top, but then contained an Isaron, so it was a large cleat. The other contained an Isaron when it was filled the maximum that it could hold, which is together with its Kodesh. It was a much smaller cleat. So this was two Yisronot and a Chatzi Yisaron. What was the Yisaron used for? Yisaron ma'ayam mishamesh, shebo ayam moded lekol ha-minachot. The Yisaron was used for any type of mincha, even for the minchat nesachim, which of course was much larger than the Yisaron. So, lo hayam moded, what that means is that we did not have a dry measure of the shlosha esronim lapar, shnei esronim la'ayim, yisron la'keves. We didn't do it that way. Lo b'shel shlosha lapar, lo b'shel shlarim la'ayim, ela modedin yisronot. It was always brought with this one midah of the yisron, and there was no larger midah than that. And what was the chatz yisron for ma'ayam mishamesh? Ah, that was for the one mincha that we had to split. And since we had to split the chaviteko in gadol, mechza babok, we needed a chatzi yisaron to measure that split. Tanya, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer, Marta Lud Lomar Yisaron Yisaron La Keves Ha'echad. The funny language of Yisaron Yisaron, obviously the pashtus of the pasuk is that's the way you say in Hebrew when you mean each and every keves. But I mean, if the Torah would have said Yisaron La Keves Ha'echad, it would also be clear it's for every keves. So why do we need Yisaron Yisaron? It must be that there were two. Echad gadush ve'echad machuk. One of them was a smaller measure that could only measure when it was all the way piled up to its maximum capacity above the actual edges of the kli. The other, which contained precisely an isaron when it was machuk and you made it completely flat on its top. What was the difference between them? The Tosis asks a question. If we learn it, Yisaron, Yisaron, why did Rashi says over here that Rabbi Meir had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe that there were two different Yisaronot b'tzibur? The Achronim answer very poshut. There's two separate issues over here that we learn it from a Pasuk that's clear. But the most logical understanding of the Pasuk would have been to use an Yisaron for the tzibur and to use an Yisaron for the Yachid. Not that we should have two different types of Yisaron, Machuk, and Gadush. So that, says Rashi, was a Kabbalah that he had that for the Tzibur also there were two Yisaronot, in which case an Afkamina would have to be whether it was Gadush or Machuk. In any event, we see over here that the Torah uses two different Yisaronot. What were they for? So the Gadush, Shebo Hayah, Modeid l'kol ha-minachot. It's very nice, most understand this, to be the getter of an ayin yafa. You bring a filled all the way up. It's like they fool you in the ice cream stores. You raise it little cones, and then they got all the ice cream coming up the top. It looks like they're being very generous. So over here, it's like an ayin yafa kind of idea. So the yisaron is a full ice cream cone. If you would bring it machuk, it would look like you're being stingy. However, when it came to the chaviteko in gadol, where you're going to have to move it and bend it over to spill it into another and make it half, you don't want to go around but it's going to start spilling all over the place. I mean, so there, we don't want to do it that way. So for the others, you use the gadush, the machuk, but the... the gadush, shebo hayu moded l'kol ha-minachot, the yisaron of the chavitin was machuk, because that was for moded l'chavitei kohen gadol, so it was a much bigger container, it didn't have anything coming out on top. V'chachamim omrim lo hayashem al yisaron echad. It's a beferish posuk, not like that. It says yisaron echad l'keves echad. Ha! Where's the Yisaron, Yisaron? So you see, on the contrary, the Torah, of course, we've got to figure out what they do with it, but it clearly says there's only one Yisaron that you measure with. So then what was the point of saying Yisaron, Yisaron? Ah, that's a riboy that there was a separate kli of a chatzi Yisaron for the Kohen Gadol. And how does Rabbi Meir know there was a chatzi Yisaron? After all, Rabbi Meir said there were three, Yisaron, Yisaron, a chatzi Yisaron. So where does he get the idea that there's a chatzi Yisaron? Nafkale mi ve'Yisaron. Here it says, ve'Yisaron echad lakeves. That's adding something. What's being added? Vivav is adding a chatzi Yisaron. Okay, but the Rabbanon, they don't hold that a vav is marba anything. But wait a minute. According to Rabbi Meir, you haven't told me what he uses the pasuk for. What if we go into a vav? You're saying he learned it from a vav. The pasuk itself he didn't understand because he was dashing before Yisaron, Yisaron, Lakeves Echad. Means there were two different types of Esronot. And then you ask him, and how do you know it's a Chatzi Yisaron? From Ve'i Yisaron Echad Lekevis. But what about the Pasuk without the Vav? Yisaron Echad Lekevis Echad, what does he do with that for? So, Hai Ve'i Yisaron Echad Lekevis Echad, that the Rabbanan used to say, no, there was only one Yisaron. My Ovid Le. Oh, that is the Makor, not to do anything but Yisaron. In other words, if you're bringing a par, you need three Yisronot. You'll make a big kli with three Yisronot. Use an Yisron. As it says, Yisron, Yisron, no matter what. Or you're bringing an aisle. Or you need Shnei Yisronim la'aisle. No, but you don't make a kli of Shnei Yisronim. And how the Rabbanan, how did they learn that? Rabbanan nafkelu minikudo. Since there is a nikudah over the vav, Tanya Amr Reb Yossi Lama Nakud Vav. We know there are 10 places with a tur. We know there are 10 places which are listed in Novus Reb Nosson where the Torah has a mark in the Sefer Torah above certain letters. One of them is addressed in this price of Reb Yossi. Lama Nakud Vav Shebeemtza Isaron of the Isaron Rishon Shayom Tov Harishon Shalchag. Yisaron, Yisaron, to tell me that you need to always practice. In other words, it's as if it highlighted the word Yisaron. That's what the little Nekudah does. Tell me, always use only an Yisaron. Shelo yimdod lo b'shal shlosha lapar, v'lo b'shal shnayim la'ayil. Also, why doesn't Rabbi Meir learn it from there? Why does he need to have now Yisaron? Yisaron, 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 Yisaron. That comes to tell me there were two separate Yisaronot. One Gadosh and one Machu. The Yisaron Echad, HaKeves Echad. That comes to tell me that you have to use only an Yisaron and not make two or three. The Yisaron comes to tell me there must have been another Kli, which is the Chatzi Yisaron. Why didn't he learn the idea from the Nikuda? And then the Vav he would have had to use for something else. Because Rabbi Meir Nikuda lo darish. He doesn't darshan a meaning of a Nikuda.
Yeah, to be
mamayit, yes. Chatzi Saron continues the Mishnah, Ma'aya Mishamesh, Shabo Aya Modeid, the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Modeid? Wait. We were never Modeid, a Chatzi Saron, because the din was, remember, Varamini, I thought we had before, oh, we made such a fuss about this, that the Chavite Kohen Gadol were not allowed to be brought half. So what do you mean Modeid? Modeid means initially. When you do the initial medida, that's the hava. Sorry. Okay, change that word. It isn't modeh. It's the, what, obviously, oh, sorry, let me finish. Just elamevi yisaron shalom v'chotzeyur. Omrif Shesh has changed the word, but the meaning, I mean, he literally changed the girsa. But the word modeh means is michalek here, not modeh initially. In other words, when I'm splitting it, how do I split it evenly? I split it evenly by using the chatzi yisaron. According to Rabbi Meir, the Chatzi Yisaron was Gadush or Mochuk? Because Rabbi Meir said the Yisaron Shalem, if it was being used for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, had to be Mochuk, because otherwise it would have drifted all over the place when he tried to pour it out. But, I mean, Lamaisa, once he's putting it into the Chatzi Yisaron, you could go back to the overflowing ice cream cone shape. You use the gadush. Or was it mechuk all the way down? So ask the Gemara v'tiboy lochal rabbonin. I mean, why are we asking the dafka according to Rabbi Meir? We don't have information according to Rabbonin. The Rabbonin Yisaron gufi kami boilu. Gadush haya o mechuk haya. I mean, the Rabbanan did not say anything. We don't know what the din is, even about the regular Yisrael, because they only had one. And they didn't say which kind of one. They never addressed this issue. Therefore, what we're going to have to do is, Omar Lay, I'll tell you. The way to look at it is like this. Mida Rebbe Meir, Nishma the Rebbe Meir. Mida Rebbe Meir, Nishma the Rabbanan. I suggest that Rebbe Meir has clarified his own opinion by discussing one of the two cases. And because of that, we could see what the default position is according to Rabbanan. Since Rabbi Meir said, the Yisaron is machuk, Chatzi Yisaron nami machuk. Now that doesn't really follow. Because after all, the only reason the Yisaron was machuk was in order for it not to spill. But it may be that since we've brought it already without having our nice Ayin Yof ice cream cone, so what's the point? Certainly it's better in terms of the logistics not to walk around with something that can spill anyway. So if we've already brought the Iker in a Machuk, so why shouldn't we make the Chatzi Saron for the Chalmukah Machuk? That makes sense. And Mitter Rebbe Meir Machuk Rabbanan Ami Machuk. Since Lamaisa, there are times that we require Machuk, would be also according to Rabbanan as well. They don't have the option. Boy mine Rami Barchoma Mirafista. Chaviteko in gadol bama mechalkan lechalot beyad or bekli. So far, you've discussed what it is that we do for splitting the entire Yisaron, which is half in the morning and half in the afternoon. But what about the six chalot? Each one of them is going to be, remember, according to Rambam, the unusual shita, that half of each challah was brought, not half of the challah. Therefore, the sugya is developed very differently, according to Rashi and according to the Rambam. So, first of all, is according to Rashi, means the dough. Tosfos doesn't like that because of the clear-cut fact, according to him, which is obviously not according to Rashi when it comes to the chavitim, that you wouldn't have been able to have dough at this point because the shemen was put in only after. According to him, there was shemen. The shemen would have had to been there before if you're already putting in the water, because that would normally be the way that it's done. Obviously, Rashi doesn't hold that. According to the Rambam, there's nothing to discuss. He's talking about actually cutting the challahs. So we're going to measure the challahs. How do you measure the challahs? Question that we had this morning in your house. Do we tear the challah into pieces, or do we cut the challah? Question we had last night by Daniel. So Daniel chose the biyad. Barnea chose with the sake. And what do? So the question over here is, do we have a small measurement? That's the question, actually. In other words, are we going to use an estimation? Or are we going to sit there weighing each half? What else can we do if we're talking about an actual challah, according to Rambam, which is the Mashmut of the Gemara? Are we going to actually measure out a half a challah? Says the Gemara, of course not. Pshita the biyad. Because if you're going to be measuring out a half a challah, how would you do that? By bringing in small weights, turtani? You're going to bring turtani into the Beit HaMikdash? Yeah. What's the problem? V'yachnis. Why wouldn't I want to do such a thing? Because since in the klola it says that your lechem will be b'mishkal, because the bread was so poorly made that it would crumble up. So instead of having a challah, you'd have to actually weigh the amount of cooked dough that was put into the oven between the various shchinim. So does it look right to bring into the base? I think there's something that is a mice of a klola. Must be, therefore, that it was done by estimation. That would be the way the Rambam is learning. Now look, it's interesting. There's another problem that the Rambam addresses with this. Because Rashi is very bothered. Why are we asking this only about the Chavite Kohen Gadol? We've got many examples where we have to make a mincha, eser chalot, or whatever. Why don't we ask, how do we split the dough for everything else? So Rashi has to come on to saying that since we learned before that in each one of the challahs, it's not ma'ake, except by the chavite kohen gadol, where it's supposed to really be specific. Okay, so then the Gemara is not concerned. Obviously, we would do that by estimating. When it comes to the chavite kohen gadol, then we wouldn't want to estimate. According to Rambam, it's the only time that we split the actual challah. So obviously, that would be the only way that the Gemara would ask it. Now, continues the Gemara. Boi mirei rami bar choma mirav chista. What would be the din about using the shulchan to be mekadesh begodesh? You see, normally the shulchan is mekadesh lechem. It's not mekadesh the lechem for hakrava. It's mekadesh the lechem for eating. The shulchan didn't have any container that the lechem was in, because the edge of the shulchan was tiny. So that would mean that the godesh of the shulchan goes up for many, it depends, we'll see this about chokas later on, but it goes up awfully high, way above the shulchan surface. And that's without having walls, obviously. So the question is, does that work also for a kaimetz? Now, what is this kaimetz? Machlokas Rashi interprets. Rashi learns the kaimetz means if you would put the levena, which we're calling a kaimetz of one, which is usually in the busy
Shekhin. Suppose you put it directly on the Shulchan. Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. The whole Seder of the Shulchan is that what is Mekadesh the Levina is Bedavka, the Bezikhe Levina. It means Kometz literally. What if you would take the Kometz, where you were Kometz and Mincha in the Hecha, which we said before was kosher. So therefore, if you took it, you put it down on the Shulchan for the second Kiddush Kli, that makes it Royal HaKrova, would the Shulchan be Mekadesh a Kometz? That's how Tosfos understands the question. Says, oh, so this is Rami Bar Chama's question to Rav Chisda. Do we say, Mina Mekadesh Lechem, since the Shulchan obviously can make the Lechem Kadesh, it would also be Mekadesh the Kometz. So Kvatz Yivnami, because it was a special Kiddush, that the Torah is saying that even though it's not a Kli the way the normal Kelim are, but this is a Kli that's Mekadesh with this enormous Godesh, so to speak. Odioma, the din was only said legabe the lechem, because that's chazilei. The chazilei mekadesh, what is meant for the shulchan, yes, that it's mekadesh. But the lo chazilei lo mekadesh. Omar lei ino mekadesh. Rav Chisda told him it's not going to be mekadesh akets. So he asked him, Eini, is that true? V'omer Rav Yochanan, le divrei ha'omer tvachayim u'mechza kofel, nimtza shulchan mekadesh, 15 tefach l'malam. Le divrei ha'omer tvachayim kofel, nimtza shulchan mekadesh, 12 tefach l'malam. We'll see later on, we're going to have a machloket, how much of the sides of the lechem upon him was bent upwards. Was it 2 tvachim or 2.5 tvachim? Since there were 6 lechamim on either side of the shulchan, so it means you would have either 12, 2 times 6, or 2.5 times 6 would be 15. Tvachim, which is very high above the surface, is saying it's Mekadesh. In other words, what's the point of Mekadesh? Mekadesh obviously is something else. I mean, I understand that the lechem it's Mekadesh. Do you see that it is Mekadesh? What are you telling me it's not Mekadesh? Oh, Malay, no, I never said it's not Mekadesh to make something possible, Belina or Yotze. I said it's not Mekadesh to bring on the Mizbeah. Because that wasn't the function of the Shulchan Bechlal. So, Omalei, Eino Mekadesh Li Karev. I never said it wasn't Mekadesh Li Pasel.
Lechem upon him is on the Shulchan.
Now we're putting something strange here. Yeah, we're putting the Kemetz of the Mincha, or we're putting the Levina directly on the tabletop instead of in the Bezich.
What's wrong with the height of it?
There's no walls. It's not a rectangle. Sure, it's usually is Mekadesh Betocho. And here's not Betocho.
And the Zer doesn't count.
Even if it did, it's very low. We're talking about that it goes up.
No,
the lechem is put on the lechem itself. It's just that we support it with the cunning and so on, but it's actually not a kli at all. It's a support system. Dear President, Sheva Midot Shalach Hayu B'Migdash. Now, that was the Yovesh. Yovesh was simple. When it came to the Lach, we had 7 different types of measuring containers. And they were as follows. The Hin, the Chatziyah Hin. The Hin was only used once in history. Because the only thing that was done with the Hin, which is 12 Lugin, is the Shemen HaMishcha. Nothing else was ever a full Hin. A Chatziyah Hin, yes. Chatziyah Hin was for a par. That was the Yisrei par. Shlishit Hin was for an Ayah. Revi'it Hin was for a Keves. Then we also had Lug. And we'll see, of course, the lug we used for the shemen. And we had a chatzi lug. What that was for, we're going to have to see. And we had a revius halug. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, we didn't have. What do you need separate? I understand. What an inefficient system. What, you're trying to sell more containers that one fits in the other. Take one container and put marks on it. The container itself is the Ein. You put a mark in the middle and you write Chatzi Ein. And then in the middle of that, you write a Revius Ein. And so on and so forth. The way everybody does it. What do we need to Shnatota? You Ein. Adkan Lapar, Adkan La'ayil, Adkan La'keves. Rabbi Shimon Omer, what kind of hin? What do we need hin for? What are you going to do with a hin anyway? You know of anybody who needs a hin for something? Ella, I'll replace the hin with an extra midah. I was going to say, what do you mean? What do you got to replace it for? So say that there were 6. It's a given. We have to start with 7. I'm going to replace the hin with an extra midah that you guys didn't mention. And that was the 1.5 lug. And that was required for the chavitim. So ba yamodet le minchat kohen gadol lugu mechza baboker lugu mechza ben rabbi. Ketana Rabbanan. So let's take a look at the bright that goes into more detail. Sheva midot shalach haya b'migdash, revi'it alug, chatzi alug, lug, revi'it ayin, shlishit ayin, chatzi ayin, and the hin. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, no, you have it all backwards. It was a hin, a chatzi ayin, a shlishit ayin, a revi'it ayin, a lug, a chatzi lug, revi'it alug, which was the exact same thing, except that he's going from top down, and Rabbi Yehuda is going from bottom up. What in the world is the difference? The Gemara is going to ask him. It's very strange. Now, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, as he does in the Mishnah, lo yashomin, v'chimaya hin mishamesh, what do I need it for? Ah, but what do I do now if I've gotten rid of the hin? Who do I bring instead of the hin? Et mi avi tachtav, elamidai yetera shalug v'merza itasham, shabo hayam oded l'chaviteko en gadol, lug v'merza baboker, lug v'merza ben arbaim, Amrulo, why do we need, I don't get it. Wasn't there a chatzi lug? So if it was a chatzi lug, it's very easy to get a lugu metza. Why do we need a separate kli for a lugu metza if I can use a chatzi lug? So chatzi lug aita sham, and what you can do is you take a chatzi lug three times, and a chatzi lug three times is 1.5 lug. That would be the best way to do it. So efshel ashayer b'chatzi lug. Why did they not ask efshel ashayer b'lug v'chatzi lug? That was an interesting sugya. Because Lamaisa, we discussed this earlier, there's a problem in that a little bit of the measurement is always left behind. So what we had to learn was that the Torah is including that in how it is that you're supposed to be made. But if you could only use one measurement, then that only happens once, because each time it pours out, it doesn't collect more. If I'm going to use two measurements, how do I know the Torah allows me to do that? So therefore, I said, okay, so use the chatziluk three times. That way you'll still only have one time what's left behind. And why would you need the other one? So if there was a chatziluk aitasham, so then, what do we need anything else for? It makes perfectly good sense. And that way we can cover everything. So he said to them, "Nu, and according to you, why do we have a chatziluk? What do we need a chatziluk for? What do we need a look for? We have a revi'is halug. Why can't we use a revi'is halug as many times as you need?" So there was a revi'it aitasham. Why can't you just use the revi'it and get him on a stick? You're asking on me. Why don't you ask on yourself? The rule was, you do not use one thing for different purposes. Now, Tosfos says the Rabbanan obviously going to have to deal with this issue. I mean, why are they asking on him? And not as going to themselves. Because, look, there's only one time a day you're going to need it. That's the Chavite Kohen Gadol. I mean, to tell me that for every time I'm going to need a chatzi lug, which I need, first of all, I need for the menorah, and I need for minchas seita. I mean, that already I need to have. That's not something that doesn't come up very often. Mashen came here. They didn't think that it was important, but they didn't have this as a how can you say matok is basul if a katani reisha ain't maybe in et helius tion vimevi kasher? Om Ravina, look, it's got to be, you put it together, kroch utni, according to Rashi to say both are possible, according to Tosfos to say both are kosher. Ravak, or according to others, using Tosfos' approach, kroch utni together with in Mushan and Mavushal, which is a way of making it matok. Ravashi Amar, no, they're two different issues. At least Yonis Chuya the Shimsha, that's not Mois. Chuya the Pira, that is Mois. Ein Mevin Yashan Divrei Rebbe V'Chachomim Achshirin. Omar Chizke, what possible reason would there be to Rebbe not to bring old wine? Omar Krala Keves Yayin. If Keves is Ben Shnato, Av Yayin Ben Shnato. I Ma Keves Ben Shtei Shanim Pasol, Av Yayin Ben Shtei Shanim Pasol. Maybe that's true. Ah, but it's a fish. Yayin ben shtei shanim. Lo yavi mimevi kosher. Who's this bright going according to my Shabbat? Lo yavi Rebbe. Nonetheless, it says it may be kosher. El amar Rava in the time of the Rebbe. Dechtiv al tera yayin ki yitan dam. Ein mevi in lo ben adaliot. Tana kramim ba avudim. Pa'amayim b'shanan. Rav Yosef. Havilei Khan in the Pardes of the Rofik Beit Tvei Rivka, and Avad Charmen the Darimaya Katri. Lo hayu konsinoton b'chatzavim gedolim tana, chaviyot, kadiyot, ludiyot, beinoniyot. אין מניחין אותם שתיים, שתיים אלא אחת אחת. כיצד בודק? גזבר יושב וקנה ביד הזורק הגיר, הקיש בקנה. תונה, זורק הגיר של השמרים, גזבר הקיש בקנה. Why not just say it? נסייע לרבי יוחנן. דומה רבי יוחנן, כשם שהדיבור יפה לבשמים, כך הדיבור רע ליין. רבי יוסי ברבי יהודה אומר, בואי רבי יוחנן, יקדיש על מהו שילקה עליו משום במום. Do we say, even the posel kebal mum, dummy? Or do we say, ein bal mum alo bivhema, teiku? Tana Rabbonan, Elim used to come from Moab, Kvasim from Hebron, Nagalim from the Sharon, Gozalot mi Aramelech. Rabbi Yudaimer, maybe in Kvasim, our girsa isha govan ke rochvan, or Tosis girsa isha govan rechavim. Omar Rabba Barab Shilam, my time in Rabbi Yuda, dichtiv, in the brachot yireh miknecha bayomahu kar nirchav k'tiv al chamotayach Yerushalayim nifkadeti shomrim kol hayom v'kol halayla tamid lo yachushu maskrim et Hashem al domi lachem mai amri hachi amar Rav Barav Shila atata kon derachim tzion etc. Rav Nachman Yitzchak omer boneh Yerushalayim Hashem nitchei Yisrael chanes, which it means it's suitable for the time of the galut. ומי קרא מי אבי אמרי? אומר רבא ברב שילה, כי בחר השם בציון היווה למושב לו. הדרן הלך כל כוונות הציבור. שתי מידות של יבש היו במקדש, איסרון וחצי איסרון. רבי מאיר אומר, איסרון, איסרון וחצי איסרון. איסרון מה היה משמש? הוא היה מודד לכל המנחות. לא היה מודד לא בשלושה לפר ולא בשלושליים לעיל, אל מודדין עשרונות. Only חצי ישרון מה היה משמש בו היה מדד חביתי כהן גדול מרצה בבוקר מרצה בין ארבעים תניה היה רבי מאיר אומר מה אתה מדומר ישרון ישרון מה כבס אחד מלמד ששתי ישרונות היו במקדש אחד גדוש ואחד מחוק גדוש שבו היה מדד לכל המנחות מחוק שבו היה מדד לחביתי כהן גדול חכמים אומרים לא היה שם על ישרון אחד שנמה ויסרון אחד לכבס אחד, אם כן מה אתה מדלומר יסרון יסרון? That is to be מר בחצי יסרון. רבי מאיר, how does he know חצי יסרון? If he uses יסרון to tell me there were two עשרונות, נפקלי מי ויסרון. ורבונן, וב לא דרש. But what did רבי מאיר do with the פוסק of יסרון אחד לכבס אחד? מה רבי דלי? Ah, that was שלא ינדוד לא בשל שלושה לפר ולא בשל שניים לעיל. So how did the Rabbanan know that? They nafkele minikudo. The Tani Om Rabbi Yossi Lama Nakud Vav Shebeemtza Yisaron Shal Yisaron Rishon Shal Yom Tov HaRishon Shal Chag Shal Lo Yimdo De Lo B'Shal Shlosha Lepar V'Lo B'Shal Shlaim La'ayah. So why didn't Rabbi Meir learn it from there? Nikudo Lo Darish. Chatzi Yisaron Mai Haya Mishamesh Shebo Haya Modeid Lechavitei Kvein Gadol Modeid? I thought חביתי כהן גדול לא היו באים חצאין, אלא מייבי יסרון שלהם וחצאיו. אבל שיש את זה, זה מה מודד מינס. מה אם מודד נמי דקטני? מחלק. בוא מיני רומי ורחום עם רב חיסטה. חצי יסרון הקורינג רבי מאיר. Was it גדוש או מחוק? ותבואי לך לרבונן. לרבונן יסרון גופה קומי בא אלו. גדוש היה או מחוק היה. אמר לי, well, I say, רבי מאיר נשמע לרבי מאיר, and the Rabbi Meir Nishman Rabbanan. If Rabbi Meir said that Yisron Machuk for the Chavitim, so it makes sense, the Chatzi Yisron is not Machuk. Furthermore, since Rabbi Meir holds that it's got to be Machuk, and there was only one type according to Rabbanan, said the Rabbanan Ami Machuk. I mean, why would they argue on that? Boy, Mene Rami Bar Chomim Mirav Chis, the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, Bameh Mechalkan Lechalot, we're talking about being Mechalek, Babok, or Ba'erach, but what about the Chalot? Beyad or Bekli? Obviously, Beyad. E Bekli, well, what do you expect? Or Taniach, I understand, why not? Because given the Klolaktiv, it's Lav Urach Ara. It's Beshivri Lachem, Matei Lechem, and the Yeshivu Lachem B'Mishkal, Feh, and the Beis HaMikdash, Mokam of Brochis. Gotta be Beyad. Boy, Minei Rabbi Barchoma, Mirav Chista. Shulchan Maushi Kadesh Kimatzim Begodesh Shalom. Do we say min mekadesh lechem kmatzim nami mekadesh, or do we say the chazil mekadesh lo chazil lo mekadesh? Amalai ain't a mekadesh. Any? Amr of Yochanan, Divir Homer to Machaimu Mechza, Kofel each lechem. So then the lechem turns out 6 lechem times 2.5 is the Shochanan's Makadish Chamesh Yisrit Tefach Lamala. And according to the man Yomer Tvachayim Kofel, turns out that the Shochanan's Makadish Shemisrit Tefach Lamala. 6 times 2? Omale, Eno Makadish Likare, if that was your question. As I said, it was a Makadish. Is Makadish Lipasel? If you leave it over now, Melina, it'll become possible. Sheva midot shalach ayuba migdash. In, chatziahin, shreshitahin, revitahin, lug, chatzilug, revitalug, revliezer, revit sadokam, what do we need separate kelim for? Shnatot ayubahin, arkan lepar, arkan leayel, arkan lekeves, Rabbi Shimon Omer, what do we need a hin for? Vimaya hin mishamesh. Elam yidaya teira, shalug vamechza itasham, shabaya modet leminchat koin gadol. Lug vamechza vaboka, lug vamechza ben rabayim. Tana rabbana, sheva midot shalach ayu b'migdash. Revita lug, chatzia lug, lug, revia zayin, shlishita yin, chatzia yin vayin, divin Rabbi Biyuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, no, you have it all backwards. It's a hin and a chatzi hin and a shishita hin and a vita hin. Then it's a lug and a chatzi lug and a vita lug. Rabbi Shimon Omer, what do we need a hin for? Ma ya hin mishamesh. Oy, et mi avi tachtav. Must be the midayet erash a lugu mechza itasham. Shebo ya modeid lecha viteko en gadol. Lugu mechza boke, lugu mechza beit habayim. Omer lo, what do we need that for? We have a chatzi lug. So efshel l'sheher b'chatzi lug. And what about according to you? What do we need a chatzi lug? What do we need a lug? Don't bother, lo yaseh, because after all, there was a revi'it haitasham, v'efshel l'sheher b'revi'it, elazeh haklau, hayab ha-migdash, kli shemeshamesh mida zo, eina meshamesh mida acheret.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Rabbi Isai, we are holding on Daf Pezayin Omid Aleph at the Gemara. So the Mishnah said that in Mevi'im lo matok v'lo mevushal v'lo mu'ushan v'im mevi pasul. So it says over here that sweet wine is pasul for Nisochim. The problem is that the Reisha of the Mishnah said, "Vaktani Reisha ain mevin et helistion." That you don't bring Helios wine. The Helios wine is sweetened by Helios, by the sun, and lefer should be included in matok. It's very interesting, by the way. You'll notice throughout the perek, everything was in Greek. Notice you have the alpha l'shemen, you have the alpha l'yayin, you have Helios for the defining the wine. Okay, we saw the first part when we get Menorah, we understand this Megeh Yavan. We had before that the Meshicha, which the Kechiyavadis. Right? So there's the whole pattern over here, but the wine now is something new. However, as it's
Shem makes you
wise. Go ahead. Is can I get Das? Can I get Dibur? Can I get Lashain? Okay, as we'll see in the Gemara to come, so we're getting very Greek-oriented over here. In any event, it seems to be a steer in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that Helios wine is kosher, and then it says Matok is pasul. Amar Ravina Krochutni. Says Ravina, we have no choice but to put them together, and to read it, now Rashi learns Krochutni means to read it that it's all pasul. In other words, what we should say is that the reason that Helios is pasul is because matok would be pasul. We'd have to change it. Tosfos disagrees because this says beferish later on that in Rabbi Basra it says that it's kosher.
So it must be that it should be Krochut Nila Heksha. In other words, all of the later ones we switch around from the Apostle to Kasher. Reb Ashi says it's very partial. Your simon should be right away that Helios is not Matot, because why would we use Helios? But the point is that there's a difference between Chulya de Shimsha, which is Lo Mois, and Chulya de Pera, which is Mois. So something which is sweet because of the sun, that's considered to be Maus. Therefore it's kosher, you know, it's not the highest quality wine when it's Matok. But if the fruit on the vine itself...
Sugar added.
Well, it's not sugar added, but it's the fruit... In other words, the type of vine that we're talking about, where the fruit is overly sweet, and then it's a pagam in the SM vintage of the wine. Ein maybe in Yashan, divrei Rabbi, but Rabbi Machshirina, it certainly seems counterintuitive not to bring older wine. Why would that be? Which seems to be saying that the yayin should have the din of the keves. Ma keves ben shenato, af yayin ben shenato. But there's something over here about the nature of its natality, so to speak. I mean, so the birth of the keves and the birth of the wine are seen as being similar. As the more that's the case, then you should say ma keves ben shenim pasul, af yayin ben shenim pasul, so that it should define it even with the abad.
So after 2 years and between.
No, within its year, it's been shown. Yeah.
So,
v'chitem okinami, maybe you'll say in okinami. Maybe the yayin is indeed possible after the first year. V'atanya, yayin ben shteshanim lo yabiv, he may be kasher. Now, here it says in the Pharisee and the Bride, you shouldn't bring it, but if you do bring it, it's kosher. It's got to be ready, because man shabbat megoma lo yabiv. The only sheet that we have that says v'chatchila not to bring older wine is ready. And nonetheless, it says, you may be kasher, and if he's learning it out from the keves, then it should be, you may be pasul. Elam ha-rava ha-inu time the Rebbe, to receive altera yayin ki yit adem. So apparently, the posik is megala, that the red in the wine, and this has to be the natural red of the wine, the liquid itself, not through the additive of the red in the grape itself, which nowadays, that's what they use to deepen the color of the red. They let it sit in the actual
peel.
It's not called the peel.
Skin.
The skin of the grape. That's not the adam of the yayin. And so mimela, because it begins to fade, the color begins to fade after the first year, so it should be within the first year because of the adam. Ein mevin lo min adaliyot ela min hakramim ha'avudim. Now, of course, all kramim are avudim. What it means over here is extra avudim. Kramim avudim pa'amayim b'shana instead of only once. Reb Yosef havele karim de pardisa. The Rabbi bei etzvei Rivka. Reb Yosef had himself a little corner in a pardes that he would work an additional time. So he would, you know, hoe around it, make it softer twice a year. And indeed, of its chamed adori mayal chatrein. It would make, from he was able to manufacture wine from the grapes in that corner that could take double the regular mix of water to wine. And instead of 3-1, it could take a 6-1 mixture.
What does this mean literally?
To bang, you know, to... what do you call it? Not that bang. Dig, yeah. Eloha yukonsinotan v'chatsavim gedolim. You didn't use large barrels, tana, chaviyot, that were used were the kaviyot ludiyot, ubeinuniyot. They were the Libyan cob-shaped barrels, middle-sized. And in menichimotam shtayim shtayim alachasachas. You don't put one on top of the other. They need to be properly aerated around them. Only one could sit at a time. Ketzad bodek, how do you check to make sure that the wine is clear, the gizbar your shape, kana biyado, Zorak ha-gir, kikish b'kaneh, they slam it shut. Tana, Zorak ha-gir means the gear shall shibarim. As soon as there was anything that started coming out of the barrel that wasn't clean, he would bang with the kaneh, and it would shut the flow down. Now, the question is, why didn't he just say, enough? V'leim olay mima. Misayei l'olav yoch, l'olav yoch shim shadibur yafel psamim, kach dibur ra l'yayin. So here we have again our Greek interrelationship. Remember that wine was the source of Dibur. Right? We were talking about Mirchas Yayin Yatzasot.
Right.
But in Gan Eden, the Eitz Hadas is Yayin.
Well, that's the next question you said, Henry. Rabbi Yochanan was the one that helped.
No, they're just different. But it doesn't matter. Everybody's made it that it's different elements for different things. But the Das, which is Yayin, is Shivin, right? You'd known as Shivin,
right.
Which is Kenega Das, is an address like a Shivin Lashon, which is again Divur. And there you go. So you've got the only languages Keneget Shivim would be Yiddish, Lashon HaKadosh, or Greek, in a sense of the multi-level. So we still have our Helios. Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda Eimer. So the question of here is going to Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda, the din of Yayin that has in them Kemachim growing, so if there's any fungus or anything that's infected the wine, it's considered to be a Balmum, in which case this whole discussion is moot, because there were no kamachim on the top of the wine. If there would be, the whole thing would be possible anyway. Boy, Rav Yochanan, it's reasonable to assume, as the Shita does, that this is a mistake, and it's rubber, because we had three such questions earlier about the nature of a balmum and a non-animal, and they were all rubber. And probably this was another one of the, as Tosfos said before, there's some Tzrichos that he's not aware of specifically why, but this must be part of the Tzrichos as the Rebbe was making about whether there's a din of Balmum. Do we say, Maoshi Lakela Mishum Balmum? Do we say, given the puzzle, since the Torah Pasul has a din of a Balmum, and therefore we get Malchus on it, Odilma in Balmum, that ought to be Behima, and as we said before, take you on this fourth by as well. Tamar Rabbana. Elim should come from Moab. Fasim should come from Hebron.
You're right. Would be
yeah. Even if you're mine. There's five separate lottery. Elim are brought from Moab. That's the place where they're the highest quality. Thank you very much. Fasim are brought from Hebron. Agalim come from the Sharon. Goes alot, our highest quality from Haramela. Rav Yudaim and Mevim Kvasim Shigvohim. Our gears is Shigavham Kirachvam, which does not seem to be the correct gears. The Tosfos corrects it as well. Should probably say Shigvohim Kirachabim, meaning in the same way that the Torah is Makbid, that they should be Rechavim, then it's probably Makbid that they should be Givohim. Because the pasuk relates to the rochav. Amar Rav Abba Rav Shila, my time Rav Yehuda Tassiv, Yer'en Nikdecha Beyomu Tar Nirchav. So you see that it's a mila to have rochav, so it's also a mila to have gova. That's a Tosa suggestion. Tar is that like a pillow. In other words, the animal itself provides like a Tar Nirchav for you. Like by Carmel, we have the full pillow, Carmel, right? There's a Bereshis Rabba that Tosfos brings over here that the kvasim of the carbon tabid were so tall that they could eat from arazim. And we put them on a camel to carry them, the legs would be dragged along the ground. So they were giraffe type of kvasim. They make these, you've seen in the cartoons, they make these stylistic animals that are very nice. Ksiv al chomotayich Yerushalayim itkadti shomrim kol hayom v'kol halayla tamid lo yechashua maskrim et Hashem adom yilachem. Now the only connection, l'chora, that we have over here in the sugya, and it doesn't make sense to connect it simply because it's part of Yishayahu's Avias of the Kar Nirchav, but rather it seems to be that there's an inyan of Aldom Yilachem. Don't be quiet. And this has been what the sugya is talking about. Kol is Yafal Psami, and Kol is Ra L'Yayin, but there's an inyan of constant speaking when it comes to Shmira on Yerushalayim. And my Amri, what did the Shemrim say? It says, Aldom Yilachem, don't stop talking. It should always be Dibur around Yerushalayim. So Hachi and Bava, Rava Barav Shila said, Atata kum terachem Tzion. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Bone Yerushalayim Hashem. What about before the Churban? Mikora mayavi Amri. Amar Rabbi Baruch Shila ki bachar Hashem b'tzion ivah lemoshav lo. Okay. Hadron alach kol korbanot ha-tzibur. There were two different measurements of Yavesh. Remember that these measurements had been in Magabi being in Mekadesh, which we spoke about earlier, and in the Kiddush of Kol Shores. So there were two types of measurements of Yavesh, an Isorain and a Chatz Isorain. And that's because these were the only measurements that you would actually need in order to measure out for the various korbanos. And we'll see, the Gemara is going to talk about where would we need to measure a Chatz Isorain, since an Isorain is the minimum that you bring for any korban. The Gemara will talk about it. And Mish talks about it initially, actually. And the Rabbi Meir says, no, actually, there were Isorun, Isorun, Rechatz Isorun. There were two different types of Esronot, one of which was Machuk, and one of which was Gadush. And we'll see why there was a difference between them. But the Machuk means, in other words, that when it's smoothed down, it's exactly on top, it holds an Isorun. And the Gadush holds an Isorun when it is filled and brimming. There are two ways of measuring the Isorun. Yisaron mahayam eshamesh shubayam adet kol amenachot. Every mincha required either an yisaron or a certain number of esronot. So lo hayam adet lo b'shlosha lepar, even though there's a shlosha esronim lepar for the nesachim, you didn't have a midah of three esronot. You would be mode three times an yisaron for a par. Velo b'shal shnayim la'ayel, and you didn't have a midah of two esronot for an ayel. Elamodin in Esronot. You always use the Isorain, and you add the Isronot. When the Torah tells you what to bring, it's not simply telling you this is the total amount, should be Shnei Esronot or Shlosha Esronim, but rather how it is that you should do it. In other words, there should be an inyan of bringing Esronot, not just an amount of flour that's the equivalent of the three Esronot. Chatz Yisoron Mahayam Eshamesh, but where do we need a Chatz Yisoron? Now this is really what it says here in the Mishnah is very problematic, because we had before that you dafke do not bring a Chatz Yisorain for the Chavitim. You always make it with an Yisorain. So the Gemara will explain what the Mishnah is referring to over here. Tanya Hayar Rebbe Meir Omer Mata Medomar Yisorain Yisorain Makeves Echad. Why are you mentioning Yisorain Yisorain? Must be Malamich Yishtei Esronot Hayu B'Migdash. There were two types of esronot, echad gadush, the echad machuk. The gadush was used, shabayom adet l'chol ha-menachot. There was no problem of using a brimming measurement for normal minchas, because you pour the measurement directly into the bisa. So whatever was over the edge wouldn't spill anywhere, it would go into the bisa. The machuk, however, was used to be modeg for the chavitei kohen gadol. Because since you had to pour the chavite kohen gadol to be mechalek it into a smaller measurement, if it was brimming, you would lose some. Because you don't have a big container that you pour it over, and now everything falls into the container. You're trying to pour from a fully sour into a chatz sour. So if you have anything that's brimming over, by the time you turn it, some of it falls off the side. Therefore, there was a special one that was mochuk, even though it's not, by the way, this is a nogea what we do for Havdalah. The siman of brachas that thing should go over the edge of the kli. So even though it's a hosif bracha, but you can't use it because you'll end up losing the solet. So in the mele there was one machuk that was used for that purpose. A group for the repetition of Yisaron Yisaron comes to tell me that otherwise you should try to use kedushim. The Chachamim Amrim, Lo Hayashan Alab Yisron Echad. There was only one Yisron, the Gemara will ask later, whether it's Mochuk or Gadur. Shinabar, V'Yisron Echad, Lekevet Echad. In Kei Matam Adlama Yisron Yisron. So why did the Chachamim understand the double meaning of Yisron? L'Rabot Chati Yisron. That's to tell me that there was another measurement for a Chati Yisron, and not that you think you're modeed basically up until the midpoint of Yisron to make a mark. And the midpoint of the story, you have another kli and Yisaron, Yisaron. How does Rabbi Meir know that you have a separate kli for a chatz Yisaron? You know, Lane? Not kli ni ve Yisaron. He said, well, that I know from the extra Vav. Rabbanan Vav lo darshi. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, what's the point of saying Yisroon Echad like Keves Echad? My Avidlan, if he darshes the Vav, what does he do from the Pasuk? Now, that's to tell me exactly that halacha shelo yimdod lo b'shal shlosha lepar v'lo b'shal shnayim layim. The whole point of that pasuk is to let me know that you always think in terms of the yisaron, not in terms of the total amount. So even if you're bringing more than an yisaron, it's brought by adding yisronot. So that's a beautiful drasha. So how about Rabbanan? Rabbanan. So where did they learn it from, since they need the yisaron echad, according to them, to tell me not to darshan yisaron as being separate yisronot? So how do they know it? They learn it out from the nikud. There's a dot there. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Loman nakud vav shebeemtza yisaron, of the word yisaron on the first day of Sukkot. Shel yisaron rishon shel yom tov arishon shel chag. The first day of Sukkot, the first time yisaron is mentioned, is an extra dot on top of the word to tell me always use yisaron. And lo yimdod lo b'shal shlosha lepar, lo b'shal shlayim la'ayil. Do not use more than that. So in other words, every nekuda comes to be memayet, and this is being memayet any additional yisronot. Rabbi Meir nekuda lo darish. Rabbi Meir is entourage that nekud.
Does it mean if there's a machuk one, that's when it's full, it's an yisron, right?
No. If there's a gadush one when it's full, it's an yisron. A machuk one, when it's even, it's an yisron.
No, so
oh, that's what you're calling for.
Yeah, so it means a gadush without more than this.
No. Gadush is the way that you get the Yisar. Use this container in such a way that when it's filled and not brimming, it's a full Yisar. You can't have more than Yisar, then it's a yes, sir.
No, what I'm saying. And the top part means it's like a cone.
Gadush is a cone, and as a cone, it has an isaron.
It's not as precise.
It's not as precise. The Chalavim remember that our midos, if you hold Gadush, our midos in general are not all that precise.
Is it possible?
In other words, the very fact that the Torah will say an Amma, people have a mistake. They think that there's a specific. And then people go around measuring Amas to this fifth decimal point, understand? The whole point of an Amma is that it doesn't have a very clear cut meter.
The length of a head.
Oh. Well, I mean, of an arm. Obviously, I mean, it's an average. Is what you're going to make an average. It's a mistake to look at it that way. Tefach, etzpah. So all of these, oh, that's why every country throughout the generations, until very recently, a few centuries ago, when they made the actual Meduyak Midei standard, every country had a slightly different Amma. The Amma was in use all over the world. An Amma was a standard measurement, but every society had a different measurement of an Amma. Because by the England, they used to measure the king's Amma. And whoever was the king, that was the Amma of that time. Until they made a gezerah, I forgot which king, but there was one king who made a gezerah that you take three people, a large person, a small person, a middle person, yeah, and you average, and that should be the official Amistad going by the king. So, the Chalav, I think it's a complete misunderstanding of the whole idea that they look for a shear, what is shearim shatar. The shearim shatar are not exact. That's the whole point. It's the same thing. So all of this discussion is just silliness.
What about with business practice? It's so important that the
business practice for sure is again norms. That has nothing to do even with anything official. Whatever people over here, that's what they used to call the Mida Shalteria, whatever was normal there, that's what you're giving money for.
I put out a new book. I don't know the rough saw it, but Kazayas for Brochos, he put his pictures of all the different foods, how much food is exactly that. And I was thinking exactly what the rough saying. When I saw that book for the first time, I was thinking, what do people do all the day until now?
What do they do without the book?
Without the
picture. So the Kazayas for Brochos also would be
non Jewish. Well,
people always tell me, I thought this book, what do people do?
Is it possible that the Kelim were a little different size so that
with a...
Of course, not possible. It's the daska. That's the whole point. They had to be two different sizes. So one of them is gadush, that becomes the son. Just remember the rule of yes or no, sir. Right? If it's yes, sir, then it's possible. And if it's nice, sir, for sure it's possible.
But before that, I published this recent book, because I basically defined it as an olive, olive, what I would think to be an olive, basically.
Yeah, that's why we have all these makwadis in there. You know, the, doesn't claim its whole Tuesday. It's very, very much a personal thing. Right. I mean, you have to say that by definition, if you're using such measurements, if you're taking a natural measurement, which the davka doesn't have a shear, how could anybody think that chita, sa'ira, you know, the zayas, and so on, we're going to use each one of those as a mida, so that that has a specific mida that you can measure to decimal points? It's a modern intrusion. intrusion into the whole world. Yeah, of course, the scientific world, the major advances in science in terms of the idea of getting away from this concept of measurement. People don't realize that. The whole anthropic view of reality was that we'll have measurements that are built around nothing but the way a human body happens to be, a foot. A stone. What is a stone? What does it mean, the club? A grain. The things that we're used to having. So, you know, until somebody asks me, what if somebody from outer space would ask you how big you are? What would you answer? We average 5 feet. And so on and so forth. Right? So then, and then after you make standards, so what are you going to tell them? So we're 2 meters, and what's a meter? It's a bar that's in France. Why don't you come visit and see? The problem with using such measurements is there's, by definition, no interrelationship between its parts. You never get a vision of reality. Because there's no units that you use to let you see what would the world look like if you used a unit that actually is definitive, that anyone in the universe would use that unit. And that's what draws all types of new understandings of relationships between things. You have to have units that are interrelated fundamentally. Right? So that's where they came up with a Planck unit of time, the Planck unit of length, and so on and so forth. Earlier, there were also attempts to do this. But it didn't catch on because people weren't sophisticated enough. But it became an absolute essential thing in order to be able to think. You had to stop thinking. And Lamaisa, that's part of my separations. That the fact that we should use the sun and the moon and the stars as units of time is a chiddush that's the same as Vayikra, the Rekia Shamani. In other words, the point of the Torah, Dibur Torah Kolosha B'nei Adam, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the relationship that a human has as an animal to the world around him is based on his animal senses. And therefore, this is the way you should do it. And if anybody will come along one day and say, but those tefillin aren't square because my new micrometer, which works with lasers, tells me that it's not square, you should laugh at them. That's good for the point, because our measurements of time are limited to that. It's a very gross concept. Which
Sotayibur
is exactly the same. Take a look at it. Look what we're doing. We're being Mekadesh Chadashim based on an average orbit. Right? That's the shot. So the whole thing is, it's all Benoni. It's all averaged out. It's all, we're not Makbid. Ria, that's the way to make it. It's just primitive. Mekadesh Al-Pi Ria. Even when it's not Al-Pi Ria. So then we don't even think about it. Nobody knows when the Mailan is. They read that silly Mailan thing. That Mailan thing is just an average. If you assume that every month is the same, and it never is, it can't be the same. So you make a Mailan, which has nothing to do with reality.
That's
very interesting. I don't know about that, but maybe Tekken, he does it.
Of the real
Mailan. Which Ruach has that? Which one? That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's one good way of of actually seeing the new Mailot if you happen to be in the in an eclipse of the sun at the moment of totality. That's it. There you've got the Mailot. Okay. So getting back down to the sugya. Chad Yisor Imari Meshamesh Shabo Hayam Odeid L'Chavite Kohen Gadol. Now, but when you say Modeid L'Chavite Kohen Gadol, that's not true. We had before Brahmini Chavite Kohen Gadol Lo Hayu Bohen Chatzoi. But Farish, you do not bring the Chad Yisor, and even though that's what you put on the Mizbeah, because you split it into two, you're supposed to be maybe Yisor and Shalom V'Chotzeil. So you have to bring an Isaron. So how could the Mishnah say you're Modeid? Modeid means a lechatchila, that's the amount of flour that you bring. Omer of Sheshit Nana. The Modeid means to be mechalik, the flour. That's the point. Vormine Rami Bar Chamin Mirachista. Chatzi Isaron Rabbi Meir. Gadushaya or Machukaya? What would be the din of a chatzi Isaron? I understand that the Isaron itself, that was used for the Chavitin, so over there it couldn't be Gadush because it would spill. But when you pour it into the chatzi yisoron, so over there you could pour and make it gadush. Nu v'tibay l'chal rabbanan.
You just pour for your vesh?
I think so. In English, when you only spill, the spill is the spill indiscriminately. I believe. I don't know. Listen, I only speak English. So they asked him, what about the Rabbanan? Why are you asking on according to the Rabbanan? No, according to the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan I wouldn't ask about the Chatz Yisoron, the Rabbanan I would ask about the Yisoron. The Rabbanan never said, they only have one Yisoron. They never said what that Yisoron is. So the Rabbanan Yisoron, go pick anybody. There I have to ask about the Yisoron. I want to know what the din is about the Chatz Yisoron like Rabbi Meir and the Yisoron like the Rabbanan. Was it Gadush or was it Machuk? Or Marley, sort of fist to set him, listen. Min Rabbi Meir Nishmal Rabbi Meir, Min Rabbi Meir Nishmal Rabbanan. Basically, we can figure it out. In other words, because Rabbi Meir said that the Isaron is Machuk without any further description when it comes to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, so the Chatzi Isaron is Nami Machuk. That means that when he's not telling us differently, the Chatzi Isaron also is going to be done in such a way that it was mochuk. Because it means for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, we're not interested anymore in this inyan of Gedusha. Anyway, we're not using Gedusha in the initial bringing. What would be the point of bringing it for the measurement? And Mida Rebbe Meir mochuk, since Rebbe Meir holds you need mochuk, partially for logistical reasons, so then the Rabbanan Ami mochuk will have to assume that the Rabbanan's single Isaron is a mochuk Isaron, which gets the Chatzi Isaron is also mochuk. Bo'amine Rami Bar Chomei Miruchista. Chavite Kohen Gadol b'ma mechalkin l'chalot. B'yad or b'kli. How did we split up the chalos? Rashi learns that it's actually talking about the dough. Tosis doesn't like that pshat because the question is that when would you have been bolo them? It's supposed to be bolo them separately. As we'll see later. So he learns it's talking about mamish before you now make them even. But in any event, it's not talking about the chatzi yisoron over here, the actual chalos of the chavite. The yad of a kli. So you want to cheat at the biyad. For sure you use your yad because even kli, what? Totani yachnis. What are we supposed to have? We're supposed to have like small weights. I understand. Is something wrong with that? The yachnis. That's to bring small weights. No, because even the beklolach seem. Since it says in the Teichacha, it talks about the Hashiva lach lachem the mishkal. I mean, what? That's terrible, right? You see that it's mamish simin klola. You go all the way from the gedusha to simin bracha, and then you bring in turtani to make a simin klola. We're certainly not going to bring a turtani into the Beis HaMikdash. And so mamela must be that it's biyad. By the way, there's a shita that holds that people that take matzah together, based on this, shouldn't weigh the matzahs. Should be the erech for chalik the matzahs. If you sit weighing the matzahs on a scale to make sure everybody gets exactly a kilo, so then it's yeshivu lach b'chem b'mishkal. That's interesting, huh?
How do they do it?
You get a feel for it. It's a erech. Same thing over here. How do you know exactly? We don't know exactly. Approximately. Well, I mean, yeah, you need a mechila between them. The Balei HaChabura, otherwise you got problems. The question is like this. Suppose you didn't use the containers, the bezichim, that are meant for the levaina, and you put the levaina directly on the shulchan. Would the levaina be mekudeshet for the kedusha to be on it? We'll see, Lagabi Hefsher, Lagabi Psul, we'll see. From the Shulchan, even though it's all Gaidish. Because, in other words, the Shulchan doesn't really have a question whether it has a rim, whether you put the bottom, if you have another rim, extends down, extends up, whether that has a din of a Kli, that's all issue. But certainly, whatever it is, the Shulchan had an enormous height in terms of how high the Lechem was, right? And nonetheless, the lechem was kaddish on the shulchan. So if I put the levaina, maybe if I put even the levaina between the lechem, maybe it would be mekudesh because it's in the airspace, so to speak, above the shulchan. So what would be the din of the kaddish of a shulchan? Do we say min mekadesh lechem? What's inami mekadesh? Obviously, the shulchan is mekadesh lechem, even though the lechem is way above the top of the shulchan. So it should also be mekadesh the kaimens. We say that which the shulchan was meant for, the lechem, it's mekadesh. What the shulchan wasn't meant to be mekadesh, namely the levaina, that was supposed to be in the bezichei levaina, it won't be mekadesh. Amalei ain't a mekadesh. Ain't it? It's not mekadesh. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The divrei omet v'chaim u'mechza kofel. If you hold according to Manion, we'll see later on that there's a machlokas how the lechem was arranged on the shulchan and what the measurement of the shulchan was, whether it was 5 tefachim or 6 tefachim. So the each lechem is 10 tefachim. So if you hold that the shulchan is 5 tefachim wide, the length of the lechem is placed across the shulchan, that means you have to bend up the lechem upon him, was 2.5 tefachim on each side. You have 6 lechem, times 2.5 is 15. So that means you have 15 tefachim high of lechem standing above the shulchan, and that means that the shulchan is mekadesh chamesh esar tefach lamal. The divrei omer tevachayim, kofi, hold like the man the armor who says that the shulchan was 6, and therefore there was only 4 to be kofel, 2 on each side. So then you had 6 times 2 is 12. So nimsa shulchan mekadesh shneimasar tevachim lamal. So, but it's saying it's mekadesh. I mean, what's the chiddush? That it's mekadesh the lechem. I mean, it's mekadesh the lechem. The point is, you're trying to say that there's a kedusha that the shulchan would give to something else that's on it, such as the levaina. On my lay, I in me it's not kedush bechlal. In a mekadesh li karev is what I meant. You're going to need the kedusha of the bezichin to be makriv the levaina. Av a mekadesh li pasel, but it will become pasel. Belina and so on, that's one pshat. The other pshat that Rashi was makabel from his Rebbe is that once you made the shulchan with levaina not in bezichin, then you parceled it. Because you can no longer be makadish properly in the bezichin. That's what his Rebbe taught.
And the levaina was put place on the shulchan?
But in bezichin. It was a separate kli, sharis.
And after,
yeah, and after it was brought on his back. But since over here, Mekadosh, but the Kedusha Shulchan without the Bezichim, so his Rebbe said that meant it's possible permanent. And you ruin now the relationship of the Lechem to the end.
The Seder was what? They
bent
the Chalas and
they put it on the Shulchan. Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to have a whole discussion. How we dealt with these Chalas is going to be fun. Sheva midot shalach ayu b'migdash. Now there were 7 separate midas of lach. The hin, the chatziyahin. Now the hin is very strange because the hin was never used. What was the hin? The only thing that the hin was used for were the hin is 12 lug. The only thing that we used 12 lug was shemen mishkas kedesh zed, zayin a equals 12. And that was done with one hin. But that was one time in history. And to say that we always have to add the kli of the hin is an interesting thing. A chatzin, okay, I know a chatzin lapar. Shlishi sahin laayo. Revia sahin lakeves. Okay, that makes sense. Lug, v'chatzi lug. Verabias Lug, this also we're gonna be going into what we use them for. And Rebbeleaz Reb Tzadok Omer, no. There were no need for these Chatzi, Shlishis, Revias. There simply was a hin, and there was Shnatot, Ayurbahim. Adkam Afar, Adkam Ayel, Adkam Akedas. You poured it in, and then you had this little laser thing that lit up when it got to the level of the par. So whatever you needed, that's what you took. What do you have to have a separate midah for? Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is going to ask, what about Sheva, according to him? Because Sheva is Mashma. We'll see, this Sheva seems to be a Kabbalah of some sort, but there were seven. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo hayasham hin. What's the point of a hin? Rima hayahin mishamish. What would anybody use a hin for, anyway? Elamida Yaseira. So what's the pshat? Elamida Yaseira. Because there is a Kabbalah that there's seven midas. That's a given. So to make up for the missing hin, there was a lugum mechza. That there, lugum erzai tasham, sheba hayam modeh l'minchas kohen gadol, since you needed basically three lugim for the chavitim, you had a lugum erzai, but what kind of lugum erzai? They're not buying, and that was a separate quiz that makes up for seven. Tanu rabban, sheba midah shaloch lachoy b'migdash, revi'es alug, chatzi lug, lug, revi'es ayin, shlishis ayin, chatzi ayin, behin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So that's our Mishnah's beginning. Rabbi Meir Omer? No, say it backwards. Start with the hin. Rabbi Meir seems to be saying the exact same thing. He just says it in the other direction. Hin, chatzi hin, shlishis hayin, revias hayin, lug, chatzi lug, revias halug. I mean, it's the same thing in reverse. The Gemara is going to ask, so what exactly is the difference between them? Rabbi Shimon Omer? Lo hayasham hin, v'chima hayahin mishamesh. Et mi avi taktav, who shall I bring instead of the hin, so that we still have our seven? Ela midai etera shalugu mechtai tasham, shebo ayam modei b'chavitei kohen gadol, lugu mechtza b'boker, lugu mechtza ben arbayim. Omru lo, what's the problem? There's a chatzi lug. Why can't you use efshar l'sheher b'chatzi lug? Why can't you use the chatzi lug approximately to say that you can get now, three, you get three chatzi lugs. There's a lug and a half, last I heard. So, why do you have to have a separate kli? You'll say there's a little bit difference in being mode separate. I don't understand. So, according to you, what do we need a chatzi lug for? Chatzi lug l'gata. After all, there was a revius. So, why can't I just take the revius twice? Last I heard, that's a half. So after the shayar for Revias, Elazek Lala Yad Migdash, Klish a Meshamish Midah Zo, and a Meshamish Midah Charas. The rule is a measurement is used for itself. That's all. So don't give me any hassle about the Lugumetza. To be discussed further.